This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering Ipswich Town since 2015. My name's Richard Woodward, and you've joined me for a special show looking ahead to the new season for ITFC Women. Joining me, first ever women's professional at Ipswich Town Football Club, Sophie Peskett, and media officer Kieran Stanley. Good evening to both of you. How are you? Sophie, let's start with you. It's pre-season. You must be loving life right now. It's like the first day of school, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, it's so good to be back, like just seeing everyone, and obviously with like the hard year we've had, like it's just amazing to be back.
And tough is it as well? Is
yeah,
fun and
got us doing a lot of running, but yeah, it's all good.
It's the time of year for running.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. And Kieran, this kind of setup, this is not going to be unfamiliar for you. You're a familiar face and a voice potentially to a few people. You've got history podcasting, haven't you?
Yeah. I've done quite a few things. Started off kind of doing podcasts and radio a few years ago before moving into more club-based stuff. Got the opportunity at the club 4 years ago. So since then, I've kind of not been doing as much. But I'm sure, you know, a few people might recognise my voice from interviews and previous things I've done in the past.
Just don't be critiquing my technique. I've cobbled together. I'm just about capable now. That'll do for me. So the purpose of the show is, and straight from the off, I need to kind of come clean that I class myself as an armchair supporter of ITFC Women. I've done some research. It's probably not going to be very good, so you can both correct me on that kind of stuff. But given the kind of the positivity around the club as a whole, particularly also in the women's game off the back of the World Cup in 2019, but also fantastic news from the summer of promotion to the third tier, it's a great time to try and get people interested. There'll be a lot of people similar to me watching or listening who just want to get up to speed, really. So I'm hoping that you can both help me in that respect. I start with you, Sophie, because it's a whirlwind kind of 18 months, as I said, for the club. But the big news, really, as well as the promotion, is you becoming the club's first professional on the books. What's that been like? You know, I know you did an interview for the club. You can give us some different insights maybe on that, but also introduce yourself as a footballer as well. You're a goal scoring winger. You've got a pretty decent strike rate from my stats as well. So tell us about you and tell us about the contract.
Yeah, so obviously like the last few couple months really, it's been quite overwhelming. Like obviously sort of women's football hasn't got that much recognition, so like to get quite a lot of recognition and stuff and people noticing you and like congratulating you and stuff, it's obviously amazing. So yeah, it's obviously an amazing few weeks, and I just can't wait to get started really.
And you as a football. What's your position? What would you say? And kind of tell us about the kind of system that you guys play as well. Because again, a lot of people like me, ignorant of that. You know, 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2, 4. You know, are you out wide? Do you cut in? You're definitely weighing with goals too.
Yes. So I normally play right wing. Sort of. I don't mind being on the left. I can play in the middle as well. I'm not too fast, but yeah, mainly right wing. I wouldn't say I cut in too often. I say I like to make crosses in the box, but to be fair, like using my left foot, I'm not against it. So yeah, I've scored a few goals on my left foot where maybe cutting in and stuff. So yeah, I'd say like just using speed and stuff like that to get around players. I enjoy like getting out of tight areas and things like that. So yeah, we just play a typical 4-3-3 normally. So we're quite attacking.
Have you got a few tricks in your locker as well? Drop with the shoulder?
We'll see next season.
And Kieran, obviously, Paige Peake as well has just signed pro terms as well. I mean, it's just build. You know, we'll kind of talk about the FA Cup run from a couple of years ago. We have to kind of talk about that because national news at the time. But Sophie's deal, Paige's deal, you know, staff coming back to the club as well. There's just a momentum building there, isn't there? And the promotion is kind of the kind of icing on the cake, really. It's a really exciting time for the women's team.
Yeah, it's been a really, really good couple of years, and things just seem to be growing and growing and advancing so fast. I mean, you talk about that momentum building, and it really has been off the back of the promotion. The things that are in place going forward, the ambition that we have, where we want to reach, everything is just coming together nicely now. It's obviously an amazing thing for the football club to have its first two professional players on the books. And like we've said in the interviews, contracts at this level of women's football are very rare. So for the club to say, you know what, we're going to do something completely different here that is rare and doesn't happen too often. We're going to start signing players to pro contracts because we want to be right at the very top of the women's game. And this is what we feel we need to do to get there. Then that's remarkable because ultimately Sophie and Paige are huge assets to the football club. And yeah, it's a massive, massive statement from Ipswich Town to say, okay, this is what we're doing going forward. And this is what we want to be. We want to be fully professional going forward. But equally, we don't just want to reach the Women's Super League. We want to compete in the Women's Super League. And ultimately, you know, if you spoke to Joe or anyone around the club, the goal is to be one of the best clubs in the country. And we're now starting to build the foundations to get there.
Yeah, and it's a weird kind of parallel with the men's team. I mean, the men's team, I'll briefly talk about them in a bit because the FA Cup run kind of coincided with the men's team really being pretty poor and everyone being kind of down on their luck watching that. But the FA Cup run that the women's team went was just amazing and staggering and actually brought some pride to the club at the time. And it's good to see kind of both teams, admittedly, it's kind of a clean slate for the men's team. But this just feels like momentum has just taken the team to a point now where these kind of things are possible. And you know, there's things I guess that people know about the women's team, like the dominance over Norwich. And I guess Sophie, are you from East Anglia? You're kind of Essex, I guess.
Is I'm from right? Hertfordshire based, so I'm quite away actually.
But you're not, would you say you're an Ipswich Town fan more generally, or you don't have to be?
No, I'm not.
That's fine. No, so, but the kind of rivalry with Norwich and the fact that the women's team just routinely turn them over, presumably, is a point of kind of professional satisfaction to beat anyone in the league to kind of get you up there. But just the dominance of Ipswich against Norwich must have been really pleasing for everyone, right?
Yeah, obviously, like, we always know when we get Norwich in a draw or, like, in the league, like, we're all buzzing. I think because we know how excited the fans get, and obviously it's the same on our end. So, yeah, it's obviously amazing, like, getting big scores. Like, when I think we'd lost 10-0 to Man City in the Cup, and then we'd gone and beat them 10-0. And it was just sort of like, I don't know, obviously that was hard to lose that much. But then to go and beat Norwich 10-0, it was just amazing.
And
it's the same. I said this in the build up to the very first Norwich game where we had the really big crowd at Felixstowe back in September 2019. Just no matter what it is, Ipswich versus Norwich, if you're from this area, you're always going to be up for it. I mean, Pesk will back me up on this. You spend enough time around Eloise King, you'll know how much it means to people like that. I mean, I'm you know, Ipswich born and bred, growing up supporting the club. So we know how to get up for these games, and that we know how much it means to the supporters. But, you know, the players do embody that energy and that passion when they step on the pitch in a derby game. And that's what's ultimately seen us to some really, really good victories over them.
And again, to kind of continue the kind of drawing attention to the men's and the women's team, the men's record against Norwich, crap, as we all know. But I think it's just it's the point where the men's team was dropping off, the women's team were just building and building. And is that East Anglian derby something you're going to miss, or is it a sense of pride now that as a football club, our women's team is so much more established? We've been turning them over because Norwich in the men's game are just, you know, for the last 10 years have really schooled us in lots of different ways. Whereas in the women's game, it's the complete opposite. So it's a strange kind of shift, isn't it?
Yeah, I think ultimately it will be disappointing not to have a derby, just from an atmosphere perspective and everything that comes with the fixture. But as you said, you know, we've beaten them convincingly, I think, four games in a row now. And even in previous years, we've had their number. You know, they've had the odd result here and there. But I guess at the end of the day, like I said a few minutes ago, like, we've ultimately got bigger fish to fry. You know, we want to push on and get to the elite levels of women's football. And ultimately, that's what we're thinking of rather than a derby game. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, they could start ascending up the pyramid at some point. You just don't know. FA Cup is another option. So, you know, hopefully at some point soon, within the next few years, we will get another derby again. And ultimately, you know, we will be up for it and we'll be excited by it. But it's not something that we're desperate to have going forward, because, as you said, we've got aspirations of doing much bigger things in the women's game than just winning a derby match.
Nice, yeah, like those words. So what's the fixture you're looking forward to, so, because you've lost Norwich now, and Watford promoted last season as well. Is that a team that you might have looked out for? So what's your game that you're looking forward to?
All of them. I'm most excited. I think Southampton will be a massive game. Obviously, we played the pre-season, but the end of last season, sorry. So yeah, I think they're a good, they've sort of got similar ambitions to us in some respects. So I think, yeah, looking at the team, I think they made a few signings. So I think that'll be a massive game.
Yeah, I remember the, was the end of the 1920 season, maybe into the last summer. Was there a friendly against them or an end of season?
It was a few months back. We played them at St Mary's.
It was this season, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was the end of the season, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Southampton game is going to be massive, especially with us playing them at home on the final day of the season. You know, that could end up being a title decider. You just don't know at this stage. You know, I think we're quite confident of where we may end up, and Southampton will fancy their chances as well. So that could be a really tasty game. But then you've got the likes of Oxford and Portsmouth, who are both very well established at that level, that will provide us with difficult tests. But I think for me, I'm most looking forward to the Plymouth doubleheaders. It's something that we discussed at the club, and I put forward to Plymouth Argyle and worked out with the FA. And especially with what's happened recently with Paul Mariner passing away, I think it's a real opportunity for the two clubs to come together on those two doubleheader weekends and perhaps do something to honour Paul, as well as have a whole weekend of football for both men and women. I think it's a fantastic opportunity. And I'm hoping that town fans travelling to Home Park in October are going to stay overnight and come and watch us on the Sunday, and vice versa as well. You know, hopefully lots of Plymouth fans will stay over and come watch the game in Felixstowe in March.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll do some bits and pieces at the end, just logistics-wise. I've been looking through the fixtures, and I'm kind of jumping around in my agendas, but no one knows because I've not shared my notes in advance. This is all planned. But Sophie, from your perspective as a player now, you're kind of, I guess, the fourth tier, used to fixtures being within a certain mileage of home, or at least Ipswich, and now you've got trips to Southampton, Portsmouth, you said, but even Plymouth, crazy distance, and Cardiff as well, third tier. So how does that change preparation? Is that something that you're going to have to figure out a little bit differently for those long trips away?
I think my whole life, I think all of us have sort of been used to pretty far journeys. Like, we've never been sort of 10 minutes down the road. But yeah, I'd say, I think away games always just bring like a good vibe in, like, I don't know, in the, as a team, like when we're traveling on the coach or staying the night, like, it just, there's a feel about it that just makes everyone so excited for the game. So I think that could even help us a bit.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. The old away trips, get the cards out and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's me showing my age. iPads. I meant iPads, damn it. Let's bring everyone up to speed a little bit. And again, this is where probably my research is going to let me down. So guys, feel free to correct me. It's okay. I've got kind of around 2012. Is the ITFC women's team had been around for a while, but wasn't really formally affiliated to the football club until around 10 years ago. Is that fair?
I think there was a team that competed sort of back in the 80s and 90s, perhaps early 2000s, called Ipswich Town Women Football Club. Now, I believe from the research that I've done that ceased to exist and a new club was founded in sort of like the mid-2000s. And then, yeah, I mean, we've kind of been under the umbrella of the club for a few years. 2012 probably seems about right. When we rebranded to Ipswich Town FC Women from Ipswich Town Ladies in 2018, that was the real sort of like, right, we are under the umbrella now rather than just a loose connection. But yeah, I mean, things have changed massively in the last few years. It's been fantastic.
And am I right in saying, and Sophie, this is someone you know very well as well, kind of Joe Sheehan kind of taking over as manager is where maybe this surge upwards started. Is that fair? Is Joe kind of brought everything together, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his ambition is just crazy. Like, he sort of brought it all on us. So we sort of base our ambition off of him. So yeah, I'd say he's definitely played a massive factor in that.
And I was going to ask about Paige Shorten as well, who's went away and has come back. How important is she as well?
She's massive. Like, she just, I don't know, she just gets on with everyone. Like, you can always chat to her, like, technically, where she has her input as well. Like, she's just, yeah, she's a really big asset to the club, to be honest.
So we've got, yeah, Joe kind of setting the tone, and then this just run of dominance in the league, 1920 particularly, and then the FA Cup run that we talked about. The win at Huddersfield must have been amazing, but to draw the Man City, Sophie, with presumably a squad full of players that you aspire to be like, I guess.
Yeah, it was obviously, it's sort of a scary experience in some ways. But I think you've always got to take positives from it. Like, after the game, I remember we were all a bit upset a bit because we all sort of had a lot of hope and, like, it was sort of all put down the drain, you know. But, yeah, I think it's obviously an amazing experience. I mean, like, even today I was watching Team GB play and I was, like, watching loads of them who I'd played against. It was really nice to be able to actually see how far away we almost are from the top. So, yeah, it was amazing.
And the good thing for you, which is scary for someone like me, is you're still of an age where you could end up playing Man City in the league at some point. Well, that's not too much of a stretch if the trajectory is, as kind of Kieran said. But, you know, there's a good chance that some of these players, you could be playing them on a kind of on a level footing in the next few years. That presumably is a real big motivator as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the aim, really. Like, that's where we want to be, and that's what we're going to keep striving to try and achieve. So,
I think that Man City game, I mean, you talk about, you know, Sophie just said about the emotion after the game and everything, but we genuinely did go into that game with so much belief. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you a little story. So the day after the draw was our first training session after we found out that we were playing against Man City, and we all went into one of the classrooms at Playford Road to do a bit of post-match analysis for the Huddersfield game, which had been 2 days before. And Joe gave this massive speech about the draw, about the game coming up, almost similar to like Braveheart almost. And it was such a remarkable speech. And I'll never forget the line. It was like, this is a million, one in a million game, but the game could just be that one. And we all walked out of there thinking, let's have this. Like, I genuinely, and for the 2 weeks building up to it, we genuinely believed that if we executed everything absolutely perfectly, we could have got something out of the game. Ultimately, it wasn't to be. City were just ruthless and world class. But, you know, for the first 20 minutes of the game, we were in the game and we could have gone 1-0 up. And I think everyone's heart jumped a little bit at that moment. But nevertheless, like Sophie said, it was a massive learning experience, an incredible experience for the players, for the staff, for the supporters that travelled up. I think we had like 400 away fans come up, which was incredible. You know, result aside, it was one of the best days that we've all had in our careers to date. So, yeah, it's something to remember for sure.
And Sophie, do you kind of set a benchmark in your mind as a developing footballer as this is the level that I need to be? You know, where did you, I guess, it'd be really fascinating to get your insights, because what's your mental kind of process during a match, whether it's just in the moment and thinking about systems and positions and or whether it's just kind of instinctive. But are you able to kind of stop and pause and think, wow, Steph Horton's just done an amazing ping across the pitch from nowhere, and that position that Ellen White just took up for that chance, you know, are you able to kind of process the top kind of tier players when you're playing against them, or is it just kind of I've got to do my own thing?
I feel like a lot of it is probably instinct, where you're sort of acting like emotionally and sort of reacting to the situation you're in. But I think, mate, you probably can, to be fair. And like, I'd say the main thing would be analysing it after, and actually you could just pick a player, pick Lauren Hemp or whoever's in your position, and just watch what she done and how you could have changed your performance to that play, how they played. So I think analysis would probably be a big factor in that. But yeah, I'd say definitely in the game, like, I'd watch sort of like people like Lauren Hemp and I'd be like, wow, like, how is, like, do you know what I mean? How has she done that? And just like, her movement was amazing and things like that. So yeah, I think you definitely can.
And it sounds like Joe did his best to kind of remove the fear of the occasion, which is great, but you should have taken, I assume you took a huge amount of heart from smashing Huddersfield away, who were third tier at the time, am I right?
Yeah,
presumably right. the northern version of the league that you are now in, the southern Premier.
Yeah, that's right.
And that presumably also, because at that point, and it's continued off obviously to the season that's just finished, just most weeks turning clubs over, weren't you? You were just, it was like the char light were just too good for you, like week after week in the league, you know, more often than not turning over the teams that you play. So to then test yourself against a league above and then to do a similar situation to them, so if you must have given you real heart about, you know, your ability but also what the team could do.
Yeah, I think I sort of remember us all going into it with no fear at all. Like, I sort of look back and think, why was you not scared? But I just remember us all being just so excited. So I think that was very good that we wasn't scared, because like, there's nothing really to be scared of. You just got to go and play the best you can. And I think that's what we did. And at the end of the day, it just wasn't meant to be. And I do think that sort of, I don't know, that's going to push us to be where we want to be anyway. So yeah, I think, yeah, it was amazing.
And a huge amount of pride for everyone. And as you said, you know, the next week turning Norwich over by the same score as the Man City game. So that's how you kind of put that situation right. But, you know, absolute pride out of that situation. And Kieran, I guess for you, kind of an insight into how the club might have to operate from a media perspective, mm-hmm. a level or, you know, two levels above, because I remember Nick Ames doing a piece in The Guardian. I think all of you were on Anglia News or Look East at mm-hmm. some point. Was that eye-opening for you about the kind of what could be possible as well?
Yeah, I think my phone nearly exploded those 2 weeks building up. I mean, I hadn't even got in my door from Huddersfield before I had BBC Look East phoning me saying, you know, we want to get the girls in the studio. I was like, right, okay, I'll put it in place. And then just for those 2 weeks, we were swamped with BBC, ITV, Sky Sports came in one day. We had like no end of tabloid journalists coming in. It was just relentless. I kind of feel sorry for Maddie Biggs because she scored the hat trick at Huddersfield and it seemed like every media outlet in England wanted to speak to her. It got to the point where we were having to turn down some requests because it was just like the poor girl was getting swamped with media stuff. But yeah, it was very eye-opening. I've got to say, I very much enjoyed dealing with a lot of the press outlets that I'd never spoken with before. Sky Sports were great to deal with, as were a lot of the journalists. It was a really, really good experience, not just from that perspective as well, but the press conference we put on prior to the game went really well. Obviously, following on from Paul Lambert at the time, you know, it was a little bit of an odd experience for us to sort of follow his press conference. But yeah, no, it was really, really good. Very, very busy for me for a couple of weeks, but I learned a lot from the experience, and we got some amazing feedback from lots of different media companies and outlets sort of saying how well the girls handled themselves, how impressed they were with Joe. A couple of them said they were impressed with how we handled things from a media perspective in terms of myself and Ross and Tom. It was a real, real good experience, but the busiest 2 weeks of my life. So when the game finished against City and we got rid of, we finished all those formalities and I had to take Joe into a press conference, funnily enough, in Pep Guardiola's press room. Nice. And he was getting grilled by the national media, which was not a nice experience. Kind of once the dust had settled with then, it was a case of now I can relax a bit, because it just felt like that 2 weeks we were constantly just doing things and getting ready for the game and making sure our media for the game was where we wanted it to be. I really hope I get an experience like that again. It's certainly I was exhausted by the end of it.
Yeah. And just more evidence of kind of these steady building blocks of establishing the club. We'll talk about on Blue Monday, we try to avoid talking about the past too much. You mentioned Mr. Lambert. I think we'll focus more on the future and the new ownership and how that relationships work. We've got a question about that, so we might come back to that. But just another example as of this momentum, this building, and then COVID comes and ruins everything. So top of the league, I think is it only the top. Which division stopped in the first lockdown? Was it or which leagues resumed?
It was everything below the Championship.
So and then the season starts again. Again, you start in exactly the same fashion, and then we have the winter of last year. Sophie, from your perspective, obviously disheartened that the season had ended the way it did, where you were, and to get no kind of reward apart from maybe the cup run, but for the league form, that must have been hard. But then to go again at the start of the season that's just been, what did that take mentally for all of you? Was it about proving everyone wrong, or was it just about just keep going and keep the momentum?
I feel like looking back, we sort of wanted to just prove like, no, we should have been promoted. Like, we needed to do the same thing again. And I think because we were, like, obviously we'd had, how long now? Probably 6 months where we were in lockdown. We were just so excited to get back that I think we didn't really think about the past too much. And I think we just had to keep focusing on what's ahead. And we just had to think, right, we just got to win these next games. So I think, yeah, at the time, I think we just wanted to prove to everyone why we should have been promoted and why this decision that being promoted now had to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say the kind of history repeating itself, being so cruel, and again, an illustration, I guess, of the frustration of being at the tier that you were, which is we're too good for it, but we can't get out. Then the application for promotion and the waiting for that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Pats, Kieran, what can you tell us about that process? Have you got any insights on what you had to do? Did you just send them a screenshot of the league table and send them? I wish it from the season before.
No. So we had pre-meetings with the league. All clubs were on an AGM or some form of like big meeting, and every club was consulted about, you know, potential options should the season have to be curtailed. Then they made the decision to curtail the season and went with what clubs felt was right. And the overwhelming consensus was there has to be some movement. Like, there has to be some movement, providing, I know a lot of clubs are against relegation standing. So I think it quickly comes to a decision quickly that let's promote teams via application, but not relegate anyone, and we'll just restructure the leagues for a year, and then it will then be further relegation spots this coming season. So we went through meetings, they sent us like the criteria list, and it was all kinds of stuff based on results of the last 2 years, cup performances, goal difference, then lots of off the field stuff relating to workforce, admin, your facilities, your training facilities, all kinds of stuff like that. And we went through the list and we were like, well, we're home and hosed here, because the results made up 75% of the decision.
Wow, okay.
And we were, and if you base the points per game, I think someone within women's football, like one of the all-round supporters pages, that she'd like worked this out, and we had almost half a point more than anyone else in the fourth tier. So that's kind of that set us up well. We were very confident, and obviously with facilities, you know, we've got Playford Road, we've got an excellent workforce, you know, lots of high quality coaches, and you know, we've got full-time staff. Like, not a lot of clubs have that. Also part-time paid staff. We have a great home ground at Felixstowe and Walton United. So when we saw that criteria, we were kind of like, yeah, this we're home and hosed here. We couldn't see any way that it was going to get rejected. So we sent that through, and it took about 5 weeks before we finally got the decision. And I think although we were massively excited that we've finally been promoted, there obviously was a massive sense of relief more than anything, because it had been so long, we'd been denied it for a year, and then to finally get up was so relieving. But equally as well, like Joe will tell you this as well, to not have the opportunity to lift the trophy in front of the supporters on the final day of the season was something that we were really disappointed with. We would have loved to have done that. So hopefully going forward, you know, fingers crossed this season, we can win the league, and we'll have that moment and everyone can enjoy that together.
Did you get a medal, Sophie? Or anything?
No, nothing.
Kieran,
I'm sure they could have done that.
Get some medals, come on. We'll start the campaign.
And medals, I mean, we've been technically been promoted by our application, although we've deserved to go up on the pitch. I think that's, I don't really think you can argue with that. We've still been promoted by an application rather than winning a football match. So I don't think they were ever going to do a trophy and medals. But in the future, you never know.
I rarely use my platform for anything, but there will be someone watching or listening who has some kind of influence to sort out a medal for last season's promoted team and a trophy. That let's get that happening. I'm going to start the ball rolling right here. And then it'll be totally useless because you'll win the league, the third tier this season. Anyway, let's move on. But Sophie, presumably great to get the validation for probably what you already knew. And I've got a stat, did some research. Am I correct? Only team in the top four tiers to not concede a goal before the season ended as well. Am I right? So
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. There you go. I think it went down to in the fourth game where we'd beaten, who did we beat? I think it was Cambridge United. We beat Cambridge United in the league, and it was us and Everton who were the only two teams in the top four tiers of women's football not to have conceded a goal. And Everton conceded, I think, against West Ham. So obviously we won against Cambridge United 10-0. So yeah, we were the only team not to concede a league goal before the season was stopped, which is a pretty remarkable achievement. I know we only played four games, but still, to be the only team, we'll take that.
Yeah, but Sophie, presumably, you know, I guess it would have been great to have a medal around your neck, but just to get that validation from that application process, a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, like as Kieran said, it was just such a relief, and like, even though, yeah, obviously it would have been nice to lift the trophy and stuff, but at the end of the day, like, we sort of had to just deal with what we were given and sort of make the most out of it and just enjoy sort of celebrating in some respect as much as we can. And at the same time as just looking forward to the next season, because I think that's what you've got to do.
And as that preparation, did that start straight away? Because I think you got that news, was it in June, early June, am I right? Or maybe May?
I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, it was early June. So we got the news on the Tuesday. Wednesday was our party. yeah, and then it was kind of from then onwards, I think it was a case of, right, we need a little bit of time off now. I think Joe was very keen to emphasise the importance of not only having the girls had a physical break, but a mental break from all the stress of, are we going up, are we not going up, season being stopped left, right and centre. We're playing four league games in 4 or 5 months. So he really wanted everyone to have a break. And really, the break wasn't that long, was it, Sophie? I think we were only off for like 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I was still at school, but I had, when training stopped, because I was training with the 21s as well, so I think I even had a bit less. But I think I had 2 weeks sort of like complete rest, and then I had sort of 6-7 weeks, which started before we found out we were getting promoted, where we were sort of all given our off-season programs. So yeah, we say about preparation, but I think most of us started preparing for the season before we even found out we were getting promoted.
I was going to say, has there been a massive, apart from maybe the pre-season training that you're doing now, any massive changes either that you've done or that's happened since the promotion to prepare for a level up?
I'd say it's stayed pretty similar. We're sort of training more together as a team, and I'd say, like, for me, I'm sort of doing my gym sort of at home, so that when I go to training, I can make the most of being there instead of doing my gym work there. So I say that's definitely helped. But other than that, I'd say just pretty similar, really.
I think that Joe, we talked about it a little bit in the return interview I done with him for the club. They've brought in a new training model. So previously we were training like in the evenings, maybe 6:30 to 8:30, 7 till 9 or whatever it was. But now it's training four times a week, 4 till 6. So there's a new full-time training model for players, which is like Sophie and for Paige. And just trying to make the environment like it is, we are a full-time club, because ultimately we want to be a full-time professional club. With every player fully professional, that's the long-term goal. So to bring in a new training model was massively important for Joe and the coaching staff. And I've actually quite enjoyed it, because it means I'm not getting home at nearly like 10 o'clock at night on training nights, you know, get home at like 6:30, and it's you get your whole evening then. And especially for players like Sophie having to travel back to Hertfordshire, it means you're not travelling back late at night. And I mean, because you must have been getting home after midnight sometimes.
Yeah, well, now at the moment, I've been getting home at like 9, which, I mean, it's still not early, but it's sort of reasonable. But before, yeah, I'd travel back, get home at sort of 11:30. I nearly missed the last train. But obviously, before, I was sort of staying up. So while in season, it wasn't like that. I was living in Ipswich, but sort of pre-season, when I was living at home, like I am now, I was getting back very late. So I think it's definitely helped having that new training model. I really like it.
I've got a few questions actually to chip in about training and stuff like that. Let's do those now. And they're kind of similar to what we just talked about. Marcus asks, how does training work for the days when you're not with semi-pro teammates? Or is this what he calls a football manager myth? He's kind of interested to know the what is the difference between the pros and the semi-pros, really. And obviously, you've got a good insight of that now. Is there much difference to that?
Kieran, do you want to answer this one?
Yeah, nothing has changed with that regard. We're training more often. There's obviously the new training model. Obviously, Sophie and Paige are on pro deals. They're still training with the squad as they normally would. It's just a case of, you know, we have now got paid professional players that are within the group, but nothing's really changed with regards to that. It's still training 4 times a week, 4 till 6, you know, and trying to get as much out of the week as we possibly can in terms of preparation, ready for fixtures on the weekend. So, yeah. There's not an awful lot to say, to be honest. It's not like they're training separately away from the rest of the group or anything like that. It's still they're training as a complete squad.
Yeah, I was about to say exactly that. You plan for the squad rather than the individuals, don't you? So again, it's possibly people, as he said, football manager thinking there maybe a little bit. And obviously you signed, was it Olivia Smith, is it, the signing in the summer, who I guess a lot of people, myself included, probably assumed that she would sign as a professional, but she's part-time because she works in the police as well. So presumably there is still a lot of thought about how to compile the squad, and whether people are pro or not, it really is about what you do when you turn up at training and what you do on a match day. For the foreseeable, yeah, it isn't,
like. I mean, like, we're still in the very early stages of these pro deals, you know. Like, I think, you know, it's only just happened. You know, Sophie signed was three or so weeks ago. You know, Paige only signed, you know, a week or so ago. So, you know, it's very, very early days. Yeah, it'd be silly for us to start changing things up in training and whatnot. And yeah, like, so for Liv, for example, you know, she's in the police force. So, you know, had no requirement for a pro contract. Which is, you know, it's just great that we get to attract a player of her quality, but ultimately, you know, as much as she's committed to the club and, you know, she's looking forward to getting started and she'll be a great asset for us, you know, she's got a career that she's very determined to succeed in, and that she's now balancing two careers, and that's very, very prevalent in the women's game. You know, dual careers is something that's really driven in the women's game, even up into the championship. And some players in the WSL are on dual careers. So, you know, it's still got a long way to go to get to the levels of the men's game. But yeah, that's kind of where things are at with regards to Liv and the other players at the moment going forward.
And it feels like there's got to be a bit of an evolution of that kind of thing. It's rather than just flick a finger and everyone's a pro.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't really,
yeah,
happen, does it?
You don't just drop, you know.
Was that the situation for you? Was she at Charlton and Charlton decided they want to go fully pro? Was that her situation?
That was it, yeah. So, yeah, Charlton have gone fully pro in the championship now. Obviously, she wants to, you know, succeed and do well within her police career. So it wasn't something that really worked out for them. You know, they wanted full-time pro. So she looked for another opportunity, and that's where Joe's connections have come in handy, because obviously he's known her for such a long time. You know, she's come in to train with us in the past, and we've been able to get the deal done that suits both parties. You know, we're happy to have a player of her quality. You know, she'd be a great asset to the squad, and she's obviously found herself a new club that works around her career. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Sounds good. Sophie, a question from Mark. Now that the long-awaited and thoroughly deserved promotion is in the bag, what are the aspirations for this season? We've kind of already alluded to them, but it'll be good to get your words on that. Back-to-back promotions, Mark suggested, or maybe an FA Cup run. And if a cup run, he's got three questions there, buddy, and Mark. Who would be the team you'd love to face?
I think, yeah, getting double promotion is the main aim that we all want to strive for. Obviously, if we get an amazing cup run again, that's just a bonus, and we are going to work for that, I think. But I wouldn't say, I'd say the league is the main priority for us to get to the top level. And then what was the other thing? Was the what team?
Who would you want to get in the cup?
Well, I feel like any WSL team really, like have a Man United will be good, or Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea. It's quite a few, to be fair. Or maybe even like a striving Championship club. I think we could give someone like that a good go.
Yeah, test your level. Second,
like for the next season, hopefully.
Yeah, I'll lob in Norwich just for the sake of it. Maybe knock them out in an early round, and then
with the FA Cup this year. So now we've gone up a division. We actually come into the competition later. So in previous years, we were coming in the second qualifying round. So we had to win two qualifying games to get into the first round proper. We now come in at the second round proper. So we're missing out three games.
So are you telling me, Kieran, that we might not play Norwich in the cup because they might not qualify?
They would have to win three games to be in the draw for the second round proper. So, they might do that, and we might end up getting another East Anglian derby, which would be nice. Obviously for us, with the previous cup run, we won, how many games? Was it seven games before we got to play Man City? So that was what made the run so special, because we were just rattling off all these wins one after the other. But whereas this time around, we're playing three less games. So, it's interesting in terms of, not as much fixture congestion. And it doesn't mean that we're having to play qualifying games. But, different stage of the competition for us now.
Sophie, one more for you before I put one on Kieran. From Andrew, us fans would love to see you playing at Portman Road. Does the team have the same desire? He also says good luck for the season ahead. Sounds like Felixstowe's been quite good for you guys as well, though. But Portman Road, I think a few times played there, but something a little bit more persistent, continual there, maybe?
Yeah, I think playing at Portman Road is something I think we've all wanted to do. And obviously, potentially, if we didn't have COVID, that probably could have happened. I'm not sure. But yeah, we're hoping potentially next year, maybe one of the bigger games, like a Southampton or something. I'd love to play at Portman Road. Obviously, the fans would love it. Love to get a big crowd. It'll be amazing.
And this kind of leads on to the next question from FBL Trat. So, Kieran, have there been much interaction with the new regime, the ownership, Mark Ashton, Michael Leary so far? Could you talk to us about that and whether they've got any plans or anything like that?
So there's been conversations going on behind the scenes between Mark Ashton and the new owners, I believe. I don't really have an awful lot of knowledge with regards to what's been discussed and whatnot. What I can say is Mark Ashton's been very supportive so far. I think what's a massive benefit to us is he's come from a club at Bristol City that have had an established WSL team for so long. I know they got relegated to the Championship in the last season, but they've been up there for a long time. So he'll have experience of what's required and what he needs to do to help us get there. I think we're in the very, very early stages at the moment in terms of what's going on with the new ownership. I think that they've said publicly that, what they want to do with the women's program in terms of that they're keen to back it and support it as much as possible, which is amazing. And I think Mark Detmer actually said it on your show, until they get over here and meet us all and see it and Joe pitches the vision and whatnot, they'll really not have much of an idea of what needs to be done and how they can support it. So all I know is that they're keen to get behind it, but it's going to, it's very much in the early stages at the moment. And hopefully going forward, we'll have a really good relationship with the new owners and they can help us get to where we want to be. But certainly an exciting time for the football club. We're all really, really looking forward to the future and hopefully, we can have some success.
One more question from Will, for you, Sophie. He's asked about the goals the team has set. I think we've covered that. Any personal targets that you've set yourself or goals for the season ahead?
I think if I can look back next season and just sort of say that I can help the team with good performances, scoring goals, getting assists to help us get promoted, I think that's just sort of my main goal for next season. I'd say individually as well, it would be to get promoted, because that's just sort of I work as a team as well. But individually, I'd say to actually help the team massively to do that would be really positive.
I think if you saw, Sophie in training last night, you got no worries going into the season. I was stood there just like, oh my God. Just, do you know when like a player just dominates a training session? And it just is one of them with just single-handedly just tearing people apart and scoring some worldies. And yeah, I think you're on for a good season here, Sophie, if you carry that on from last
year. I think my shooting practice has been paying off.
Fingers crossed. That's brilliant. Well, great answer as well, by the way. Really good to hear that. And yeah, thank you so much for those insights. So I'm just looking ahead. We'll talk about the pre-season friendlies because presumably, Kieran, people could attend some of these games maybe.
Yeah.
So we'll come on to that in a second. Just looking at the fixture list, Sophie, first up, Hounslow. And dare I say, if you wanted to pick a team to play at the start of the new season in the level above, it would be the team that finished bottom with 0 points? Or was there some mitigating circumstances behind Hounslow last season? Is it a good fixture to start with? Let me, rather than try and overthink it.
I think, yeah. I mean, to be honest, anyone, like, if we're going to win the league, we've got to beat everyone. So I sort of think, like, we're sort of happy to play anyone. But yeah, I think to play someone who hasn't done the best previously, it's obviously could fill us with a lot of confidence going into, like, the other game. So yeah, I'm really happy and looking forward to it.
And then, yeah, they're a team that struggled in recent years. But that, yeah, it's you don't want to go into the season too confident in terms of, okay, we look at the Hounslow game, first game, and just automatically assume we're gonna batter them. You can't be like that. We're gonna still have to prepare the same. We're very confident going into that first game. I think if you look at our first five fixtures, I think, you know, most people will be reasonably happy with that. And, you know, hopefully we can get off to a good start to the season and set the tone for the rest of the year. As you said, Rich, you know, it's a fixture you look at and you think, well, yeah, I mean, they have been really, really struggling. You know, it could be an opportunity for us to get a win on the opening day of the season and sort of build the momentum from there. So, yeah, I guess the only thing is that we weren't at home first game. It would have been nice to have, you know, a home game to you know, raise the curtain on the season and hopefully get off to a good start. But hopefully we can do that the following week as well at home to Keynsham.
Yeah, we don't like the word hashtag winnable on this podcast, so we won't say that. We'll respect Hounslow. Positive start. And yeah, just all the luck in the world for the season ahead. And tell us about how we can people can get to games. You've got two pre-season games, Kieran, and then season proper. What's the situation there? Presumably website and your social media is a good place to start.
Yeah, as I see, you know, we're going to be promoting these games. So the first home pre-season friendly is on Sunday the 1st of August against Wroxham, a team from Norfolk. And then the big marquee pre-season friendly is on the 8th of August against Wolves, who also got promoted to the third
tier.
Third tier. Yeah, they're in a similar position to us and Southampton. We're very ambitious clubs that are looking to reach the top. So I think that'll be a really, really tasty game. A really good game to sort of finish pre-season on, ready for the new season. We're looking forward to those. They'll be very good. And hopefully we can take some momentum into the season off the back of a couple of big performances. In terms of how to come down, so obviously you can pay on the gate, but we're obviously trying to encourage people to sign up to True Blue, which is our membership package. Starts from £5 per month. You can pay more if you want to, and it includes a season ticket and a loads of other things as well. There's information on our website about that as well. And it's basically a way for Town fans to come to every game, you know, to get yourself a season ticket for £5 a month, which is, you know, the same, it's cheaper than a Netflix subscription. And ultimately, every pound that is, you know, is going into the future of ITFC Women. You know, fans can essentially play their part in getting us to where we want to be. So we'd encourage as many people as possible to sign up for True Blue and come down to as many games as possible, because the girls really do thrive off the support. I mean, you know, we spoke earlier on in the podcast about the Norwich game in September 2019. We got a record crowd of 761. And Sophie will tell you the atmosphere was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And we want to see more fans, more Town fans embracing the women's game, you know, getting behind us, that, you know, as we try to get towards the WSL. And, you know, it'd be fantastic to see a big crowd down there for the first home game of the season against Keynsham on the 22nd of August.
Yeah, great call. We will do a retweet of all those bits and pieces. We'll stick links out there so you can find that. What I'll do as well is I'll just stick some Blue Monday stuff down the bottom there for the people watching on YouTube. Kieran, so thank you so much for coming on and giving us all those fascinating insights. Really appreciate that. Sophie as well, thank you so much. Good, and the best of luck for the season ahead. I just wanted to kind of finish on a question, and as someone who is a male and doesn't have kids or anything like that, I'm just really interested and excited to understand about the kind of being a role model for young girls coming through the game and how important that is for you. Just any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's massive. It's obviously, I feel quite privileged to be able to be involved in it, and sort of obviously in women's football there isn't that many role models. But obviously compared to men's football, there's like loads. So yeah, I'd say there's not as many. So to be one, it is nice. And yeah, I think to have young girls or whatever, like looking up and sort of wanting to play for Ipswich or wanting to be a part of it. Like you get fans, sort of young girls coming and watching and like wanting to have a picture, or they just even just saying hello. Like it's just sort of really nice to be able to know that they sort of have chosen, they've wanted to come and watch. And it's just really nice to sort of, we're hoping that in the next 10 years that they'll be playing when we're hopefully at a better level than we are now. So yeah, it's obviously really nice.
Just to piggyback that, I mean, we've laid some great foundations in terms of our youth structure. So not only have we had a very successful WSL Academy squad that compete at the very top level of Academy women's football, you know, we've formed an ACC, you know, that goes all the way down to under 10s. So, you know, we want to inspire the next generation. We want those young girls coming with their parents to watch the team and enjoy the experience and go and turn around to their parents and say, I want to play football. I want to be a footballer. And then, you know, get involved and progress through these youth systems that we've put in place so that we can then create the next generation of tractor girls and, you know, and set ourselves up for the future. Because, you know, this is a long-term project where, you know, as I said, we want to be one of the biggest women's football teams in the country. And you're not going to do that without inspiring the next generation.
Love that. Again, as an armchair supporter, I can only say thank you, and what pride I have in the way that you guys have spoken about the club, and I can just encourage everyone to get involved. So thank you once again. Any final parting words apart from good luck and hope to see everyone at Felixstowe?
Yeah, it'd be just amazing to see as many people down there as possible. I mean, ultimately, you know, for Ipswich Town fans, if you're, you know, a true Ipswich Town fan, should want all aspects of the club to do well, from the men's first team, 23s, 18s, you know, foundation phase of the academy that are bringing through those young lads, you know, women's academy. Like, you know, we wear that badge with pride. You know, it means an awful lot to us, and, you know, we it's an honour to represent the club. And yeah, it would be great to see that support coming down to Felixstowe on a Sunday, and yeah, that would be, you know, really help us going forward.
Kieran, that's great. Thank you so much. Sophie, final word for you?
Yeah, I'd just say, obviously, coming from a player, like, I know how much it means to have all the fans sort of watching. So, yeah, I'd say just sort of come down, because obviously from playing, like, when you've got all the fans sort of supporting you, like, it does push us so much, and that's going to help us get a win on the second game of the season when it is. So, yeah.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.